A mom's task never ends. It's continuous. They always have to be prepared. My mom had 5 kids. That's a lot of kids. And I remember getting ready on Sunday mornings. She was just going everywhere trying to get us ready. There's just too much. She always had to be prepared because something always went wrong. The world is crazy, right? And moms are trying to make everything work. Be prepared for anything. Help their kids through any situation. Vacation time, mom would pack. She would take her entire wardrobe. We'd be in the back seat and it'd be like a tent because you know all the things hanging and you just kind of, hi mom, you know, I'm in the tent back here with all your clothes. But why would she bring those things? And I'd ask, say, mom, what's the point? And usually she wouldn't answer, but sometimes she would. And it's interesting because she could go through the entire wardrobe and say, that's for this, that's for this. If your dad does this, that's for that, this for this, and et cetera, you know, like if we go end up at this certain church, if we have to do this dinner, it all had a reason for being there because she was trying to be prepared. There's a great thing for me. My mom works, about maybe 20 feet from me. And so I'm in my office, and during the day, if I feel hungry or I feel tired or something, I get up out of my chair, I walk down the office, open the door, and say, hey, mom, what's in the fridge? And my mom has a fridge in there. And she started packing healthy snacks, too, which was good for me. But she has waters, and she has snacks that I like. Why? Because she's my mom. She's prepared. She's trying to do everything. But sometimes I've seen my mom, she gets overwhelmed. Because it's just too much. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to prepare for everything in life, every eventuality. And you're trying to just take care of your kids and do whatever you can, and you can't. What are moms supposed to do? What's their duty? What are they required to do? What we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage and discuss some of the things that moms are required to do. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 6, and this isn't everything, and this does not only speak to moms, this definitely speaks to dads too and all of us, but particularly if you're a mom, I'd like you to look at this and kind of think, you know, what am I supposed to do? Where am I at? Do I have the right priorities? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just help us this morning. Help us to learn more about who you are and learn more about what you would have us do, just as people, as Christians, and particularly as mothers or fathers, that you would direct us and just have our hearts softened. In your name, amen. The duty of a godly mother. Deuteronomy 6. We'll start in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You should write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 6 says this, these words that I command you. Dad, for the last couple weeks, has been going through the Word of God and what the importance of the Word of God, what it means to a Christian's life. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the Word of God is important. Okay? You got to get that. The Word of God is important. You need to cherish it. It's useful. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I think Dad's used it a couple times last couple weeks. It says this, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's inspired by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Every parent wants their child equipped to deal with life. If you want them equipped, give them the Word of God. The Word of God equips them for life. I mean, when I was going to college, my mom thought, I don't know, that I have forgotten everything I've learned for the last 18 years. And she was like, oh, who's going to do your laundry? Who's going to take care of you and feed you? You'll starve. And she just would throw more and more things in my car. You know, it's just, Mom, I don't need this. Why? Because she wanted me equipped. She wanted me able. She wanted me to survive at college. How could I survive without her? Moms want that for their kids. They want them to be able to be on their own, be equipped to be on their own. If you want your child equipped, you give them the Word of God. The Word of God will equip them for what they need to do. Deuteronomy 6. And these words that I command you, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. These words shall be on your heart. What does that mean? I think if you want to be a godly mother or a godly parent, you need to have the Word of God on your heart. It's not just a concept for your mind, it's part of your soul. A parallel passage in Deuteronomy 11:18, it says basically the same thing, but a little different. It says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign in your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's not just a head knowledge, okay? The Word of God is not just something, some concept where you tell your kid, okay, this was who Noah was, this is who Abraham was. It's something that's part of you. Part of who you are. As a mom, it should be part of who you are. It's important to you. You believe in the reality of it, and it's a reality in your own life. I've been faced with salesmen who don't believe in the goods they're selling. Do you want to buy anything from them? A parent who does not truly live out or believe in or have the Word of God as part of their heart, who's telling their kids they need to obey the Word of God or listen to God and follow Him, what does it mean? I, in college, did something interesting. My one stint in politics. Okay, there was friends of mine were going and canvassing for, he was a congressman or trying to be a congressman. And so I was going, handing out, I went with the group, he was trying to get a lot of people, went with the group, knocking on doors, and handing out flyers saying, vote for this congressman. And I got stopped somewhere. It was at a garage. This lady stopped me. And she said, oh, this is the congressman. And I said, yeah, yeah. And she said, well, what does he believe? And I looked at the card, he believes in this, and this, and this. Okay. And she started asking me questions about the congressman. What did I say? I don't know. My friends were all doing this, so I went too. He seems like a good guy. He didn't get her vote, probably. Why? Because it was a little bit of head knowledge, but I didn't believe in the cause. Is the Word of God in your heart as a parent? Is it part of you? Is it a reality? Verse 7 of chapter 6 in Deuteronomy. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Teaching the Word of God, teaching these words diligently. A mother teaches the Word of God to her children. It is a priority. It is something you crave. When you can have a conversation with your child and you can talk about the Word of God, you go, yes, this is great. I can teach them the Word of God. I can share with them what God has to say. Perhaps Timothy gives us an example of this. It may be stretching a little, but I like the example of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll just read these couple verses. You can write them down if you want to. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy was taught from early childhood about the Word of God. It continues. That's chapter 3, verse 15. And 16 and 17 is the inspiration of God, for all Scripture is inspired. Isn't that amazing? Paul is talking about Timothy from childhood learning the Word of God from his mother and grandmother. They taught him diligently. Do we do that? We are obsessed with our children's success. We want our children to succeed. And there's not really anything wrong with that, except what's so important is that they succeed in following after God, not in business, not in anything else, that they succeed in doing what God wants them to do. Scholastic success is so important, and the Word of God is so lax. It's fallen by the wayside. I am privileged to deal with a lot of homeschoolers, and it's fun, but it's different sometimes. Kids who know Latin and different languages, a lot of them doing college work. Sometimes they go into college like at 15 or 16, and they are obsessed with doing all these things, and sometimes they're dragged around from one program to the next. And I know, like, my sister is a school teacher in L.A., and there's kids there who are dragged from one program to the next, just all day long, every day, doing different things. Homeschoolers, it's the same thing. They're dragged from one thing to the next, just constantly pushed, pushed, pushed. You got to be successful. You got to be successful. You got to get this down. Where's the Word of God? When you talk to the child, do they know the Word of God? Sometimes. But where is it on priority? Do you diligently teach your child the Word of God? Is that the priority? A godly mother makes the Word of God part of her life, diligently teaching it, and it's part of her conversation. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." It is very difficult sometimes when you're talking to your mom and all she wants to do is talk about the Bible. It's a good thing, though. But it's frustrating to kids. Kids come up to me. "My mom keeps on telling me this." Well, there's a reason. She's giving you the Scripture. She's giving you the Word of God. Your conversation as a mom and as a parent should be filled with what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God should be everything to you. Is your conversation at the dinner table? When you're sitting there and everybody's sitting around, is your conversation about the Word of God, what God has done, who God is? The conversation between you and your husband. Everybody, every child overhears conversations between their parents. What are they overhearing? Are they overhearing the Word of God? In your discussions with your husband, are you talking about what God wants for your life? The fact that you're in submission to whatever God has for your life, you want to follow God, you're trying to make plans, and you want to do what God wants you to do. Is that the conversation that children are overhearing? Or is the conversation not part of your life? Is the Word of God part of your conversation, everything you do? I never got into it. Bianca did when she was little. And I know a lot of little kids do. Dinosaurs, okay? Bianca still knows the names of the dinosaurs. She actually has little dinosaurs, but she knows all the names, okay? And a little kid is so cute when a little kid comes up and they explain, you know, this is the name of this dinosaur and it did this and it can do this. And it's amazing. And it's all they talk about. And it gets annoying sometimes because they get on a kick and they just go off and on and on and on about whatever their thing is, and sometimes dinosaurs, sometimes it's something else. But it consumes them. And it's their conversation. It's who they are. That's what the Word of God should do to you. When you sit down, when you rise up, your whole day, that's who you are. That's your conversation. Does the Word of God do that to you? Is that what your home is like? I would hope our conversation is spiced with that. Yes. Constantly part of it. One of my favorite things to do with my parents is long car rides. Sometimes it's really annoying. But they love long car rides. And as a little kid, we'd all sit in back and amongst the tents of clothes. And we'd talk. And sometimes we played games. A lot of it would be 20 questions, but usually it was Bible 20 questions. And you could not imagine the theological conversations that went on in the Ballantine car. And they were a blast because it taught us the Word of God. And Mom and Dad did that. They just had those conversations. And it helped because it taught us what the Word of God was. It taught us who God was. It taught us how to live. It taught us what life was all about. A godly mother keeps the Word of God as part of her conversation. A godly mother makes the Word of God part of their whole lives. It is who they are and is who their house, what their household is. Deuteronomy 6, verse 8 says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The Jewish, conservative Jews have taken this too far. They actually put little scriptures and bind them to their hands. I don't think that's what this passage is talking about. I think it's saying basically it should be part of everything you do. Okay? I don't think you actually need to tattoo scripture on your hand. But we may call this foolish, but we do the same thing. I imagine most of you have a Bible in your house sitting on a mantle or on a bookshelf. You have a plaque with a Bible verse, something like, "God bless this home," or "This home is a Christian home." Yet is that just like the Jewish little things they have tied to their hands, which means nothing? It's an outward sign that there's not a reality. Is God a part of who you are? What you do in your home, in your household, every single day? Everything. This is what the children of Israel should have done. This is what we should do as Christian parents. Let me repeat these. The godly mother has the Word of God on her heart. She teaches them the Word of God diligently to her children. She makes the Word of God part of her conversation and makes the Word of God part of their whole life. But it's a child's responsibility to respond. You cannot make your kid respond. It's up to them. They are responsible to respond. They're told to honor their father and mother, Exodus 20 and all through Scripture. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given you. You must honor your father and mother. A great way to honor your parents is, guess what? Do what they are telling you to do about what God has to say. Your parents are honored when you go, "I have submitted my life to God and I will follow him." That is honoring your parents. You must not forsake their teaching. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs 6, verse 20, "My son, keep your father's commandments, and forsake not your mother's teaching." We cannot, we should not, as children, forsake what our mothers have taught us, or our fathers have taught us. We should not forsake the Word of God. There is a great sorrow when a godly mom sees and has her child reject the Word of God. Proverbs 10 says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." It's a sorrow I have not experienced. I do not know what it's like for a kid to reject God, but it is, I know, a huge sorrow. Do not forsake what your parents have taught you. Do not cast it aside. What will make them rejoice? Proverbs 23, 25. "Let your father and mother be glad. Let she who bore you rejoice." What makes them rejoice? It's the fact that you follow the Word of God. You follow him. You do what God has to say. I would make a suggestion to you as a child. If you have made your mom sorrowful, moms are the most forgiving people anywhere. Make her rejoice by following the Word of God, going up to her today and giving her a hug and asking her forgiveness. Make it right. Do not live with a broken relationship. Go to her and ask her forgiveness and make her rejoice by following the word of God. Nothing would make a godly mother happier than to see her child following God. She has the wisdom. We need to listen. Proverbs 31 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I'm going to read a poem, and Dad doesn't do this very often. And mostly because with writers, you never know how to interpret their poem. But I'm interpreting this guy's poem in one way, so you in a good way. So it's a guy named John Greenleaf Whittier. I don't believe he was a Christian, but I liked one of his poems. It's called The Book Our Mothers Read. And it's about a mother, basically, who reads to her child the Bible. And he grows up and he searches and he comes back and realizes the Bible was where the answers are. It says this, we search the world for truth, we call the good, the pure, the beautiful. From graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul and weary seekers of the best, we come back laden from the quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Wisdom is not out there in the world. Wisdom is found in the Word of God. That's where the answers to life are found, right here. Mothers, give your kids the Word of God. Fathers, same thing. Give your kids the Word of God. Kids, listen. Respond. That's where wisdom is found. All the truth we need, all that is necessary for life and godliness is found in the Word of God. That is what a godly mother teaches her children. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for my mom, for her godliness and her desire to teach me the Word of God. Just help us all as Christians to desire to teach our children your Word, who you are, and just make it part of our conversation, make it a reality in our lives, make it part of our hearts. Thank you for the impact a mom can have, and just forgive us for rejecting the truth of the Word sometimes and for the mistakes we've made. Encourage the moms, strengthen them in the ministry they have. And thank you for bringing us here this morning. In your name, amen.